Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So before we get started today, we're starting a new sermon series, but I want to give you a little background. For the next several weeks, we're going to stay in Ephesians chapter 6 as kind of our guidepost. And then we'll branch out from there and look at some other things. But I want you to, too many times we'll flip somewhere in Scripture and we'll take a passage and we assume that that's the way it was meant and that's all that there is to it. But you got to remember, especially in these epistle letters, Paul's writing to a group of people, and when the letter got there, somebody would have stood before the church and read the entire thing, not just a section of it. And so I want you to understand what's happening through Ephesians is Paul is laying out who we are in Christ, what our identity is in Christ because of God's glorious riches, and he goes through all of that. Then he transitions and he says, now because that's who we are in Christ, this is how we ought to live in Christ. And then we're coming to the end. And he tells them, if you know who you are in Christ, and you live according to how you should live in Christ, be prepared for opposition. And he gets into the full armor of God. So our series is going to be called Suit Up. And each week we're going to put on a different piece of that suit, that armor. Spiritual warfare is not something we talk about in the Western church. And by Western church, I mainly mean Europe and America. But around the world and other places where revival is happening, it is a very real and important part of their lives. It was also very important to Jesus. If it was important to him, it's good enough for me. So let's pray and then let's jump into God's Word and then we'll pray. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and that's on page 952 in one of the Emmanuel Pew Bibles. Or Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to pick up in verse 10. Hear the words of the apostle this morning. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for your feet on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which will allow you to be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me and to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So some of you are ready. You're like, man, we're finally going to talk about something I'm interested in. And the rest of you are sitting there and you're very skeptical. So I just want to share a couple things with you before we really get started. In John 10, Jesus is teaching on him being the good shepherd. Then we come to a popular verse, John 10:10, where he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus acknowledged that there is an enemy that has an objective, a goal, but then Jesus has come to do the opposite. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, we hear these words. "Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around you looking for someone to devour." We can decide that we want to pick and choose what we believe in Scripture, or we can acknowledge that at least the disciples, Jesus, and the early church acknowledged there was a spiritual enemy in their lives. In my life, I can see times, and typically when this has happened in my life is right after I've experienced a burst of energy or excitement or growth for the Lord. Does that make sense? Like, things, you ever felt that way? Things are going perfect. Man, I'm not even just going to church anymore. I am the church. And then, boom, something happens. Right? That's my experience. I can't say it's your experience, but I can say this. I have talked to people and I have witnessed people going deeper in their faith, people growing in their love for Christ and love for others, then all of a sudden life happens. And next thing you know, that person is not only distant, but they're hardly ever seen in the church anymore. I can also say that if we'll look at the last 3 years, which ends today, this is our completion of our third year in ministry together. But if we look back over the last 3 years, we started off with a burst of growth. And then we ran into a little bit of adversity. We had to make some tough decisions, and we got over it. Most of us. Then we started experiencing another burst of growth. We even started dreaming again, didn't we? We started talking about how can we fulfill dreams that have been around for 20 years, and we started taking steps to doing that. And then the air conditioning went out. And we had to pay $25,000 because people of this church planned long enough in advance that we would be taken care of. That set us back a little bit. So then we got on our feet again and we just start plowing ahead. We experienced growth and boom, another patch of adversity came. And we got over that. Most of us. And if you've been paying attention and not living under a rock, you can know that right now we're experiencing a burst of growth. It may not be numerically today, but we're making a difference in our community like never before. We're really making an impact in places we haven't even made an impact before. So the goal of this series is to prepare us for battle. Because the next time adversity comes, we need to know what we need to do individually in our personal lives and in our families. But we also need to know corporately how to handle these situations. So when you're coaching or playing in a competitive sport or competition, it's very important to know who you're playing. I want you to think about your favorite football team if you like football. Let's say in August or September, whenever your team starts, they show up and they have practice to play one team and they're actually playing another. It wouldn't make a lot of sense, would it? Especially not if you're, let's say you're, now some of you aren't going, you're going to quit talking about sports, but what if you practiced all week for a team that runs the triple option and you show up on Saturday and they throw the ball 70 times? You're in bad shape because you don't even know who you're competing against. Well, Paul tells us, see, too many times Christians are competing with each other. Paul tells us our battle isn't even with the flesh. We're not even battling each other. He says this, "For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." C.S. Lewis, a writer and theologian, said this, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race, our humanity, can fall about the devil. One is to disbelieve in the existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them." C.S. Lewis is saying the same thing that we struggle with sometimes as coaches when we're getting ready for a game. You can underestimate your opponent. Did you know that? You can underestimate your opponent. You can be much better than them and not be prepared and lose. And you can overestimate. You can think, oh, they're so good and they're so strong and powerful, we don't stand a chance. So I'm going to give you the spoiler alert. Are you ready? Jesus wins. So we're not going to overestimate anything because we know the end of the story. We win. But we got to be careful not to underestimate. We underestimate by not believing or even understanding what the enemy's game plan might be. We overestimate by giving it too much credit. You ever heard anybody or known anybody? It might have been you, and if that's you, that's okay. Every single bad thing that went wrong, the devil made it happen. Now, I just want to clarify something. The only thing or person that can make you do something is somebody who has authority over you. You understand what I'm saying? Parents can make their children do something because they have authority over them. My wife makes me do stuff. Sometimes you got to know when to be quiet. But the devil can't make us do anything because he has no authority over us because the authority of our life is Jesus Christ. So be careful. That's just a piece of theology I want to help you understand. I'm not saying that it's not active, but they can't make you do anything because you're not of them. You're of Christ. So let's talk real quick about what the enemy's game plan might be. And the most important thing to remember is our spiritual enemy is a liar. Always. It never tells the truth. Even when it's kind of true, there's deception and lies involved. Think back to the garden. Oh, you won't die if you eat that. I think they died. They continued living, but they died in the spiritual paradise they were living in. There's a lie involved. And the devil uses those lies in two main ways that I think all of us will encounter. Now, some people encounter spiritual warfare in a totally different way in other places. But this is how I believe all believers experience it. It's through the lies of temptation. You ever been tempted? I don't think Jesus tempts us with the sins of our lives. Temptation is lying about the destructive nature of sin and the holiness of God. It's those temptations that tell us, well, it'll be okay this one time. It's the lie of temptation that says, well, you can do that because you really got it under control. It's the lie that says, I can see this, I can talk to this person, and it's okay. Because God's just going to forgive you. And we believe in the forgiveness and the grace of God, don't we? The question is, do we believe in the holiness of God? And that we're called to walk into that holiness. The second way that the enemy lies to us is through making false accusations against you. You ever thought to yourself, God can't love me? You know, if you'll step back in a calm state, that's not true, right? We wouldn't be here if we didn't think that God loved us. You're not worthy of God's grace. You ever heard that one? None of us are worthy of it. There's no reason to feel guilty. We're not worthy of it, but that's why we're going to be excited that we've got it. The devil tempts us through lies. He accuses us of things through lies. So it's important. It's important that we know who our enemy is. It's important that we know what his game plan is. But it's very important we don't underestimate or overestimate the enemy as well. However, when you're preparing for a game, one of the worst things you can do is to focus all week on what your opponent does well and never sharpen what you do well. Does that make sense? If you're preparing a team to go against a game, another opponent, another team, and all you focus on is how good they are, and you never work on getting better at what you're already good at, you're not going to be prepared. That's why the Apostle Paul spends 5.5 chapters saying, remember your identity in Christ. Remember how he calls us to live. Remember the blessings that he's given you. Remember how he's called you. Remember the glorious riches of God, who can do far more than you can ask or imagine. He goes back and forth, because he wants them to remember. He wants them to sharpen their memory and their knowledge of what God has already done. So then, after 5.5 chapters of remember who you are in Christ, remember to live worthy of that, Paul says this repeatedly over and over through this passage. He says, stand firm, or withstand, at least 3 times in all major translations of this scripture. So part of the prayer for this series is that we'll become aware of the enemy in our lives and its goals and accomplishments and things that it's trying to accomplish. But the real prayer, the real goal, is that we will learn to stand firm in who we are in Christ and how he has then called us to live. Paul says, stand firm. That means plant your feet and don't move. He didn't say go charging, did he? See, sometimes we're like, let's get fired up, preacher. We're going to run out here and find the devil. Paul didn't say to go looking for a fight. He says stand firm so that when it comes to you, he won't retreat. He doesn't say charge. He doesn't say retreat. He says just stand firm. And a lot of times that's what happens, is we start experiencing the battle. We start experiencing tough times in our life, and we give up on our faith and we run the other way. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth. And we'll talk about, each week we'll talk about one of these. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes ready to share the gospel. That's going to be a fun one. I may buy me a new pair of shoes that week. She laughed. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, y'all know that one's going to be fun. Paul says, Christians, suit up. He says, stand firm. Remember who you are in Christ and remember to live worthy of that identity. So I probably haven't convinced anybody to change their perspective than before this morning. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you 2 truths that you might as well just take to the bank. Dr. Howard Hendricks, who was a professor and this book writer, I don't know him. He's not at my seminary, so I don't have to say nice things about him because he can't give me a grade. But he said this. He said, when you are doing what Jesus Christ has called you to do. Did you hear that? He didn't say when you're living your life. He said, when you're doing what Jesus Christ called you to do, you can count on 2 things and you can stake your life on it. He says, you will possess spiritual power because you have the presence of Christ in you. So when you leave here today, you can take this to the bank. You have the Spirit, the power of God in your life. We know in Romans, we hear nothing can separate us. Nothing can defeat us from the love of God. The enemy may be powerful, but I'll take the power that rose Jesus from the grave every single time. That's our power that we possess. He says the second thing is you will experience opposition, because the devil does not concentrate on secondary targets. He never majors on the minor things. So you can look at this 2 ways. You can say, oh my goodness, preacher, he says there's going to be oppression and we can retreat. Or you can look at it and say, I've got the power of Christ and I'm going to stand firm. Some of you may have read this. It's been around for a while, but it's a little cartoon that said, I want to be the type of Christian that when I wake up in the morning and my feet hit the floor, the devil says, oh no, they're awake. Because if you're no threat, when your feet hit the floor, he's not going to bother you. Because you're a secondary target. But if you're standing firm and pressing towards the perfection that God has called us to in love, you're now an enemy. You're now a threat. You know, all the good military movies. The Patriot is one of my favorites. Mel Gibson's in that, right? And he's got his boys in the woods. Y'all remember this, those of you that have seen it? And the British Army's coming down the road, and he tells them, aim small, miss small, and take out the leaders first. Right? I don't care about them measly old, don't shoot the medic, they don't have a weapon. He says, no, go after the leaders. Because if you'll destroy them, there'll be nobody to lead the others. So we got to be the type of church that when our feet hit the floor every morning, he goes, oh my goodness, they're up. They're up. So are you ready to go from just getting by and surviving in your life and falling into the lies that have been told to you and moving on to standing firm in who we are in Christ, clothed in the armor of God, filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? We've already won. So brothers and sisters, let's suit up. Let's prepare for battle. And let's stand firm in who we are in Christ. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.